Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you again. Wasn't worship incredible this morning? This is very, very good. Praise the Lord. The Spirit was moving, and I just know that God has been doing surgery on our hearts, which is good, which is good. Not all surgery is bad. How many of you know that? Which is good. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis, the book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 37. Last week I gave some homework as asking if the church would be willing to read Genesis 37 through 45. Somebody came up to me and said, man, that's a lot of chapters. That's a lot of reading. And I didn't give you enough. I should have said read through 50, but that probably would have never happened. That's a difficult task. But today we're going to talk about vision, and the Lord has laid it on my heart to share with you some very key principles about vision in your life, based out of Joseph's life in Genesis. Joseph was a young man who turned into an old man, and God took him through a process that I believe many of us go through still today. And the title of the message this morning is The People, The Process, and The Power, The Process, and The People in Your Vision. Everybody say, if you would, my vision. Say, my vision. Your vision. Okay, you don't have to say anything. Your vision. It's your vision. I'm saying it's your vision. This is Joseph's vision. We're going to look at this. God has a vision for your life. And I know the principles are the same. Like I said, one of the things that we did a few weeks ago, several weeks ago, is I had you all close your eyes. I'm going to have you do it again in just a second. But one of the worst things you can do is lose your vision. So absolutely the worst possible thing you can do. I came into this building, into Richmond Community Church, talking about vision. And I'm going out talking about vision. It's critical. It's imperative that you keep your vision. And we're going to do an exercise that we did a little while ago. And we're going to do it again because I think it's applicable. If you wouldn't mind, would everybody please just close your eyes with me? I better stand back over here. Close your eyes. This is powerful here. Your eyes are closed. You cannot see. Your entire body is functioning. But if you were to try to stand up and walk across the pew and get into the aisle and go out the door and into your car and turn the car on and start driving with your eyes closed, it would be disastrous. You wouldn't even be able to get to the aisle without stepping on somebody's toes. Your entire body is functioning, yet you cannot see a thing. The worst thing, I'll say it again, the worst thing that you can lose in your life is your vision. Your hands might be working, your feet might have great feet, your legs, your arms, even your brain, your mind, that's all great. But when you close your eyes and you lose your vision, you're absolutely helpless. Okay, you can open your eyes. The worst thing you can lose is your vision. And in Joseph's life, in Genesis, as we're going to read here, Joseph did not lose his vision. Do you know that? He did not lose his vision. In the middle of the process, he remained faithful, and God was with him all the way through the process of his vision. And I believe somebody needs to hear this real quick today before we move on, is that the vision that you have for your life, and I hope you have a vision, we're going to talk about that if you don't, but the vision that you are setting out, the goals that you are trying to attain, that you are trying to achieve, yes, the end result is important, but it's very critical that you also embrace the process to that vision and to that goal. Anybody, as I've mentioned before, anybody can achieve a college degree. Everybody wants a college degree, right? Well, most everybody wants a college degree. But not everybody wants to study for that degree. Everybody wants to lose weight. I do, but not everybody wants to go through the process of losing weight. And so it's important that we embrace the process to the vision that God gives us. I believe that many people, you fall in one or two categories. You are either an actionary person or a reactionary person. Now, actionary is not even a word. I just made it up, so just go with it with me, okay? You're an actionary person. You make life happen. You have set out goals. You see something out there and you want to go get it, and you're going to do whatever it takes to go get it. You are a person of action. You go out and you achieve things. You attain things. There's also people who are reactionary livers. Not livers like in your stomach, but reactionary people where life happens to them. Look at me up here. Life happens to them like this. Their back is always pressed against the wall. And things are always happening to them. They're there and they have the shield of faith, trying to, you know, shield themselves from being hit too many times. And they haven't yet learned to grab the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, and make life happen and live in action. You fall in one of those two categories. A reactionary person always sees the glass as half empty. An actionary person always sees life and the glass half full. Are you an actionary person or a reactionary person? Tomorrow, there's a holiday we're celebrating. Anybody know whose life we're celebrating? MLK, Martin Luther King. Do you know perhaps one of the most famous words that he has ever shared? Four words. I have a... Yeah, it's funny how we all know that, huh? Martin Luther King Jr. had a dream. He had a vision. It was to eliminate social injustice and make sure that black people can walk with white people and we can all ride together on the bus and all of the racism would just end. And when he used those four words, I have a dream, he was bringing people together. The entire nation remembered what he said, and they held on to that phrase because vision attracts people to it. I'll say that again. Vision will attract people. If you have vision, God will, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but God will bring people to your vision if you have vision. If, it's conditional, if you have vision. And we're going to look at Joseph's life, and Joseph, God brought a lot of people through Joseph's life, and God ultimately fulfilled Joseph's vision that he had. So Genesis chapter 37, we're definitely not going to read all these chapters, okay? So I've gone through and selected certain verses that we're going to pull out, and I'll try to narrate the other part of it. So originally this message was set up for 3 weeks, and now it's in 1 week, so... I hope you brought your lunches. No, just kidding. You did. Yeah, they're downstairs. That's right. I'm just joking. Stand with me if you would. Genesis chapter 37. We're standing in respect for the Word of God. If you haven't read Genesis 37 through 45, it's okay. I'm going to do my best to bring you up to speed here. It's all right. Let's start at verse 2. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, was pastoring the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a varicolored tunic, or a multicolored coat. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Jealousy going on in the family already. Verse 5, then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, please listen to this dream which I have had. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect, and behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brothers said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he had still another dream, and related it to his brothers, and said, lo, I have had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He related it to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you, Joseph, to the ground? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the saying in mind. You know, just because you have a vision does not mean that you have to share it publicly. So how many of you know there are some things that God will give you that is for you and only you? It's not meant to be given to everybody else. It's not meant to be proclaimed. Joseph had a dream, he had a vision, and he went and shared it with his families, and immediately jealousy began to rise up within that family. And we're going to go on. Let's pray before we move on here. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, your Son, Father, that you would give us vision. Every person that is standing in this room and listening to the sound of my voice, that you would give us, continue to give us the vision and the perspective and the dreams that we need, Lord, to fulfill what you have called us to do in life. I pray, Father, that just practical prayer here, that if there is a dream that somebody has dreamt, or there's a vision that they have in their hearts. I pray that it would come to pass if it's your will. I pray that it would come to pass. I pray that you would encourage us to step forward, that you would equip us with your word, to be actionary livers, to be people of action. And I pray, Father, that you would defeat the enemy over our lives, over our vision, over this church, and the vision that you have for this church. I pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people say amen, if you would. Amen. You can be seated. You might say, well, Jeff, Joseph was 17 years old. I'm a little older than 17. We are in the last days. How many of you know that? We're in the last days. Now, Peter even said that he's in the last days, and that was 2,000 years ago. So if it's been 2,000 years, we're definitely in the last days now. And who knows? We don't know when Christ is coming back, but we are in the last days. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will dream and have visions. You are not too old to have a vision or to have a dream. You're not too old. If you are older than 17, please hear me. You are not too old to have a vision and to have a dream. Did you know that Colonel Sanders, the guy who started KFC, didn't start it till he was 67 years old? Did you know that Winston Churchill, everything that he did that we know him for, he did it in his late 60s and his early 70s? Grandma Moses never painted a painting until she was 85. When she turned 100, she had already 1,500 works of art painted when she was 100 years old. And she didn't even start until she was 85. I have a few years to go before I hit 85. How many of you have a few years to go before you hit 85? Absolutely. The Sistine Chapel was painted by a guy lying on his back. The Sistine Chapel. He was lying on his back and he painted the entire ceiling. You know that he painted it when he was 72 years old. It's never too late. You are never too old. We are in the last days. How many of you know that? We're in the last days. Now, Peter even said that he's in the last days, and that was 2,000 years ago. So if it's been 2,000 years, we're definitely in the last days now. And who knows? We don't know when Christ is coming back, but we are in the last days. Old men will dream dreams. Young men will dream and have visions. You are not too old to have a vision or to have a dream. You're not too old. If you are older than 17, please hear me. You are not too old to have a vision and to have a dream. Did you know that Colonel Sanders, the guy who started KFC, didn't start it till he was 67 years old? Did you know that Winston Churchill, everything that he did that we know him for, he did it in his late 60s and his early 70s? Grandma Moses never painted a painting until she was 85. When she turned 100, she had already 1,500 works of art painted when she was 100 years old. And she didn't even start until she was 85. I have a few years to go before I hit 85. How many of you have a few years to go before you hit 85? Absolutely. The Sistine Chapel was painted by a guy lying on his back. The Sistine Chapel. He was lying on his back and he painted the entire ceiling. You know that he painted it when he was 72 years old. It's never too late. You are never too old to have a vision and to have a dream and to have a burden. Joseph was an actionary individual. He was a young man. He had a dream, and it wasn't fulfilled, as we're going to see here, until many years later. I want to press pause for a moment. Do you have a dream? Do you have a vision of where you're headed in life? I'm going to turn that off. Is that okay, Sam? Or do you have a vision? Do you have a dream? Or are you a reactionary liver? Are you somebody who doesn't have a dream, who hasn't really even thought about where he or she wants to be in 5 to 10 to 15 years? We need to be people of vision. In your notes, I have a definition of vision that I think really sums it up. If you take out your notes, your sermon notes, it's by Andy Stanley. He's a pastor in back east. And he says this, and I think it's absolutely right on. Vision is a clear mental image of what could be, followed by the conviction that it should be. A clear mental image of what could be, followed by the conviction that it should be. That is a vision. Vision starts with a burden. Many times, if something bothers you, if you see somebody doing something and it really bothers you, you say, you know, I can do that better, or I can do that, and it's a burden, it's a growing desire in your life. Many times, that is your vision. Many times, not all the times, but many times, that is your vision. That is something that you can be called to. So in our notes, number one, as we look at Joseph's life, there are some principles here that we're going to pull out. And again, it's kind of challenging because we're trying to encompass here 10 chapters or so, 7 chapters. It's going to be difficult. But number one, first principle in Joseph's dream. This is really big. Based on the verses we just read when he was 17. Number one, understand you will not leap into your dream. Okay? You will not leap into your dream. Joseph had a dream at age 17, but it wasn't fulfilled until he was 30. 13 years later. I love that term 30. I love that age 30. It's a good age. But you know, even 14 years later, after the 7 seasons of famine and the 7 seasons of abundance, he didn't see the completion of his vision until he was 44. He had his vision at 17, and he didn't see it really come to fruition until 44 years old. Many times people will have a burden or a dream to become this and to do that. And when it doesn't happen within a month, right? Within 30 days, they question God and they wonder, why hasn't it happened? What am I going to do? And they turn around and they abandon their dream. You will not leap into your dream. You will not leap into your vision. Neither did Joseph, neither did Moses, neither did Paul, neither did Jesus, neither did anybody. Neither does anybody. There's a process to every vision that God gives you. Everything that you want to see happen in your life, there is a process to it. Everybody say a process. There is a process. How many of you know that to be true? There is a process to it. If you want to raise great godly children, guess what? There's a process to it. Many times, I know I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm going to do it, if that's okay. Many times, we'll see parents, all of us, we see parents that try to add discipline to a children's life at age 12 and 13. And from 0 to 10 or 11, they don't do anything. There's no discipline. There's no consequences to their actions. And when they turn 13, they try to install discipline, and it doesn't happen. Why? Because they've missed the entire process of adding discipline. If you want to raise a family, there's a process to that. If you want to be rich or get wealth or have a great retirement, you're not just going to automatically have great retirement, people. There's a process to that. You have to sacrifice up until that point. Again, if you want to lose weight, I don't know why I use losing weight so much, but there's a process to that. You don't automatically think, oh, ding dong, I'm going to lose weight. And all of a sudden you lose weight. No, the process to losing weight is this, right? It's getting on a treadmill. It's putting away the food. There's a process to it. Understand you will not leap into your vision. Number two. According to Joseph's life, one principle here, your vision will be complemented by your gifts. If you are sitting in this place and you're wondering, I don't have a vision, what is my vision? What is my dream? What is something that I can really grab a hold of? Your vision will be complemented by your gifts. God will not give you a vision without giving you the resources, the time, and the gifts that you need to fulfill it in your life. Many times the visions that you are burdened with will run hand in hand with the gifts that you already possess in your life. Joseph's ability to experience dreams and visions was tied to the gift of interpreting them. Do you remember the readings? He was not only given the ability to see the dreams and to have those visions, he had the gift to interpret them, a gift that no other person had in that. But notice that in Joseph's gift, he gave God the glory. He always gave God the glory, and it's probably a good thing to point out that if you don't give God the glory in your gift and in your vision, he can take it away like that. He really can. It's important that your vision is filtered through the glory of God, and you ask, Lord, give me the vision, and I want to turn around and give it back to you. I've heard in the process of my resignation, I heard a comment that I'm turning my back on God. I've actually heard that. I'm turning my back on God. And for those of you that remember when I announced my resignation, I don't think I said that. I'm not sure if I did. But you can listen to it again. But I am not turning my back on the Lord. Absolutely. I'm a Christian first. I am a pastor second, right? How many of you know that? Now, why do I bring this up? Because I am still going to utilize my gifts even though I am stepping out of ministry. One of the things that Rebecca and I are considering for me in my life is teaching high school, is actually teaching in a high school. Because one of my gifts, I've been told, is teaching and being able to equip people. And I want to filter that. I want to use that. I don't want to just neglect that and walk away from that. Your vision will be complemented by your gifts. Find out what your gifts are, and God will give you the vision that you have. It's very important. Amen? Amen. Number three, moving on. Something else we can look at of Joseph's life here in just the first 11 verses. Yeah. Here we go. Your vision will cause division. Your vision will cause division. The brothers of Joseph were jealous. Their jealousy took root in their life because they didn't understand the gift that Joseph had. Vision can cause division in the family, not just the immediate family. It can cause division in the church family. It's very true. Your vision can cause division not because it's a bad vision or that something is wrong, but because people who are hearing your vision don't understand your vision. Do you know that to be true? It's true. Vision can cause division. And when people do not understand something, they will most likely either condemn it or they'll come to their own conclusions and their own assumptions about the vision. If you think that everybody is going to agree with you, just like Joseph did, "Hey, Dad, I had a vision, and you were all bowing down to me," right? You really think, Joseph, that he's going to say, "Praise the Lord, that's a vision I'm going to embrace"? No, not at all. "Hey, brothers, I had this dream, and the sun and the moon were all bowing down, and are we going to bow down to you?" No, it causes division. The moment you have a vision, the moment you have goals in your life, share it with somebody and watch what happens. It can cause division. We have a relative in our family, Rebecca and I, who decided to marry an older spouse, a much older spouse. Anybody know any, right? People that marry older, younger? It caused division. She said, "I believe this is God's man for me. I love this guy with all of my heart." This guy was several years older than our family member. And you know what? That vision of marriage that she had and the goal to get married, you know what it did in the family? It just caused a bunch of division. Everybody disagreed with it because they didn't understand it. In the same way, in Joseph's life, it happened the same thing. In the same way, in your vision, understand if you have a vision, it will cause division. Don't look for everybody's approval. And I'll say this one more time. If you're looking for everybody's approval for your vision, you will never reach your vision. It doesn't work that way. Hold on to it. You can't be listening to God's voice and what he has given you and also be concerned and overly concerned about what man is saying over here in your right ear. It's true. It's true. Let's turn to chapter 39. Skip over to two chapters. We're going to fast forward in Joseph's life a bit. As we know, as we read the story, Joseph got sold. His brothers gave him up, wanted to kill him. Reuben said, "No, let's not kill him. He's one of our brothers." So they threw him in a deep well. Finally, some guys came, sold, bought him, took him to Egypt. And now we have Joseph in a prison, but he's in Egypt. And we're looking at chapter 39 here, verse 1 through 5. Okay, so we fast forwarded a few years. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he owned he put in his charge. Let's look at verse 5 and we'll move on. It came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned, in the house and in the field. So here Joseph is sold in slavery and he's in Egypt. He's in Potiphar's house. He must be thinking, well, this is my life's plot. This is where I'm going to be the rest of my life. And sure enough, the Lord was with Joseph in the process of his vision. And the Lord blessed Potiphar's house. And so Potiphar gives him authority to be an overseer over his entire house. Then what happens? Just when you think things are looking up, what happens? Potiphar's wife goes after Joseph. Sleep with me. Joseph says, no thanks. Sleep with me. No thanks. Sleep with me. No thanks. You're so handsome and beautiful. Sleep with me. No thanks. Finally, he was wrongly accused, right? And Joseph finds himself back in prison. There's some principles here that we need to know in the middle of the process, and it's in number 4 in your notes. Every vision, every single vision, every goal that you have, everything that you achieve, everything that you set out to do, it will have, here's the fill-in, it will have setbacks. Setbacks. Now, I almost changed that term, and I think I might at the end of the message here. Unexpected turns. You might put that in there too. I'll leave it up to you. Put what you want in there. Setbacks or unexpected turns. Just when you think that things are looking up for you, when you think that things are turning around, something can happen, such as a distraction or a temptation that pulls you away from your vision. It's true. It can happen. Joseph was in charge of everything Potiphar owned. But because of Joseph's integrity and his unwillingness to fall to temptation, he was wrongly accused, and just when he thought he's finally come out of it, boom, he's back in prison. It's a setback. Now, I'd like you to consider, what if you were Joseph at that very moment? What would you have done? Think about that. What would you have done? You're given authority, you're given permission to do all these things. You're now in a position of leadership, and then you're wrongly accused, and you're back in prison. What would you have done? How do I say this? Visionary people are people who do not cave in the middle of a setback. Does that make sense? Visionary people are people who do not cave in the middle of a setback. Just a thought. Number five. God uses other people at the right time to help carry you into your vision. God uses other people just at the right time to help carry you into your vision. I had a vision to become a senior pastor, and I wanted to be a senior pastor really bad. And I remember in Long Beach, California, there was a certain individual that was an MGR. Does anybody know what an MGR is? Who had it? More Grace Required. That's right. You know, these people that kind of push your buttons, right? Does anybody have any of those? And this person in Long Beach was in the ministry, and wonderful person, wonderful. God loves this person, and I love this person. But just always constantly critiquing me, always telling me what was wrong, what was the things I was doing wrong, things like that. Always critiquing, always criticizing. And you know, at that time, I was like this. Usually when somebody does that, it's a defense, right? You're just like, you know, I don't think I'm going to have lunch with you today, right? So just back away. Then in Madeira, when I went to Madeira, there was a certain individual that also told me everything that I was doing wrong and everything that they thought I should do. And I started to teach and I started to develop my gift of preaching a little more. And they would write on a 3x5 card every single point that was wrong and certain scripture references of what I should look at, you know. And I just want to say, hey, are you even listening to God? Or are you just critiquing Jeff? You know, I didn't say that. I prayed for him, but you know, he didn't say that. But at that time, that was another MGR, just More Grace Required. And at the time, looking back at it, hindsight's 20/20, looking back at it, I was shunning these people. I was saying, no, I don't want to be near you. But you know, those people, I believe God used those people in my own development to handle difficult people. Now, I can honestly say, and I say this with all due respect, I have not had anybody here, in my opinion, in the Richmond Community Church that has been difficult for me. Do you know that, Pastor Val? I haven't. Is that good? Wonderful. And I'm telling you the truth. But you know what? I'm not sure I would have been able to say that if I didn't have those two people in my previous ministries that I was able to develop and be grown in a process that God brought me through. Every vision has a setback, and God will bring strategic people into your life to help carry you into your vision, whether good or bad. If you look in your notes, you should have, if it were not for Reuben, Joseph would be dead. The brothers would have killed Joseph. Do you have that in your notes, or is it just... Okay, you did. Oh, okay. If it were not for Potiphar, Joseph would not have been promoted or given any leadership over. God used Potiphar to promote Joseph to be in charge. If it were not for the warden, Joseph wouldn't have the influence with the prisoners. If it were not for the cupbearer, if you can remember, keep reading, Joseph wouldn't have the opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. If it were not for Pharaoh, Joseph wouldn't have been placed in charge of Egypt. These are certain individuals that God brings into Joseph's life that helps carry him into the vision that he has. So I ask you this morning, as we're thinking about vision, as you're thinking about your own goals, who are the people that are in your life that are helping carry you into your vision? Good or bad? Good or bad? God uses strategically those people to help carry you into them. Embrace those people. Don't be a nerd like I was several years ago who would just, no, get away from me. Get away from me. I don't want to. You know, I saw them and I just walked the other way. Embrace them. Get close to them. Because many times God will use those people to help carry you in. Okay, turn with me. We're going to flip some more chapters. Then we're going to close here. Turn with me to 45. I heard a great quote by a preacher one time, and he said this, and you might want to write this down if you want to. He says, God will always propel prepared people. God will propel prepared people. Prepared people. Chapter 45. Starting with verse 1, let's look at this. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out for me?" So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. As we now know the story, the brothers have come back. He's about to reveal himself. "It's me, Joseph. You sold me several years ago." Verse 2, he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Verse 4, then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you have sold me here." This is important to listen to. Listen to this. Joseph said this. Wow, what perspective. "For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it was not you who sent me here, brothers, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and ruler over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me the lord of Egypt. Come down and do not delay.'" Now, I know I fast-forwarded several years here, but number six is this. In developing your vision and attaining it and trying to acquire it and dreaming and everything you want to set out to do. Number six, be patient and forgiving to those who cannot see your vision. Be patient and forgiving to those who cannot see your vision. If you remember the brothers several years ago, they were jealous and they were going to kill him. Now here in verse 45, They're so distraught and so embarrassed and so convicted. And Joseph had every right to say, you know what? You almost sold me. I'm going to kill you. Get out of my presence. But Joseph said, be not dismayed. Go tell our father that God sent me here and not you. Wow, what tremendous perspective. What tremendous perspective about your vision. Be patient with people who do not see your vision. Be forgiving to those who condemn or critique your vision. It will happen, and you need to be patient, and you need to be forgiving. Those are six principles, and I mean, there's about 25 of them, and I was really trying to figure out how are we going to get all this in. But those are six principles in vision, in developing your vision, that will greatly aid you. Now, I'm going to come down here one last time, and I'm going to share with you something. I have tremendous love for this church. We do. We know that it is a hurtful thing when a pastor leaves the church. I've been on the flip side of this too. I haven't only been on this side. I've been on the other side. It's a hurtful thing. It's similar to a divorce. I understand that. There's a lot of questions. Why you feel like you've been abandoned, misled, lied to. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. But I can honestly say, I do not feel as though my vision here has been lost. I feel as though it has been completed here. Next week, not today, next week. 5 months? Can a vision take place in just 5 months? Can God, if you look at the Apostle Paul, God moved the Apostle Paul in and out of churches left and right. Left and right. His tenure in a church was not anything like what we see today in today's churches. And I love you guys. What I'm saying is I love you guys. And I embrace the vision that has taken place. I believe I have been a catalyst to kickstart something that's going to be awesome in this church. And you know what? Frankly, and I'm not saying this arrogantly whatsoever, please hear my heart. But I believe that if God didn't bring me here, some of that stuff wouldn't have happened. Some of you might not even be here. Might not have found this church. So let's, with each other, let's not apologize for a vision lost. It's not lost. It's not lost here. It's just getting going. When I was developing this message and looking at the 6 points, I said, okay, Jeff, I was really taking an inward look. Jeff, have you gotten, you know, I've asked the hard questions, some of the same questions that many of you have talked about at your lunches and everything. Have you been discouraged? Have you given up in the setbacks? When you've had a setback, are you just having a big emotional setback and that's why you're leaving? And I've asked myself that question. I can honestly say, no, that's not the case at all. That's not the case at all. Rebecca and I, God has given us different visions. He's given us different things that we want to attain and we want to go for. And I don't feel as though the vision is lost here. You know what else confirmed that? Today's worship. I don't know if you sense the spirit in today's worship. There's a spirit of hope here, Lisa. There's a spirit of anticipation of what's to come. And I dig that. I think that's awesome. It says a lot about you. It says a lot about you as a church. It really does. And so I ask that this last week, my last week here, as we have our conversations and as we discuss, I ask that we embrace the vision that has taken place the last 5 months and will continue to, that we embrace each other, that we share in words of love toward one another. And we have. I don't want to say that everything's been negative. We have. But let's really be careful of what we say, and let's make sure we embrace the vision, the greater vision that God has for the Richmond Community Church. Because it's a process. And Jeff McCoy is just part of the process. Amen? Amen. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. Stand with me if you would. Stand with me. Let's review the 6 steps real quick. Somebody, just one person, say the first point. One person. Real loud. You said it. Okay, good. What's number one? That's okay. Understand you won't leap into your dream, folks. What's number two? Every vision will have setbacks. Another way to put that also is unexpected turns. My departure is probably an unexpected turn for this church. Your vision will be complemented by your gifts, absolutely. If you're struggling, especially if you're in college or high school, if you're struggling to find out what your vision is, think about the gifts that God has given you, and you will flow right into your vision. Because many times it is complemented with the gifts that you already possess, as well as the burden that you already have. Okay? What's next?
Your vision will be on the
vision. Oh, man. Oh. Val said, if you didn't hear it, he said, your vision will be on Division Street. So, oh man, I can't even look up right now. So, what's next? Everybody but Val, what's next?
God uses other people at the right time to help carry you into your vision.
Amen. God uses the right people at the right time to help carry you into your vision. And last but not least, what's that? Be patient and forgiving to those that cannot see your vision. Share your vision with somebody. Share your vision with 10 people and find out how many of them will agree with you 110%. Probably not all 10 of them. Be patient with them. Be patient with them. Forgive them, especially if they can't see it. God didn't give it to them. He gave it to you. So those are principles out of Joseph's really fast life. I mean, we could have spent hours on Joseph, but those are principles that I think will help you in your vision and attain what God has for you in your life. Let's pray. Amen. Let's have the worship team come up and we'll close with a song. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it's living and active. I thank you, God, that it does not come back to us void. I thank you that you are moving in this church, that you are moving in our lives. I thank you, God, that you have spoken to hearts today. I'm confident you have. You've spoken to my heart just preparing this message. Thank you for that, Lord. Father, teach us how to live like Jesus. Teach us how to embrace the Word of God. Teach us how to love one another and love you with all of our hearts. Teach us to forgive. Teach us to walk in grace. Father, I pray a prayer over the congregation here, the people standing in this room. I pray that you will increase their capacity for vision. I pray that their eyes will be fixed on you, be fixed on what is to come in the future. I pray that not only corporately, but also individually in the people's lives here. I pray, God, that people who have walked in here discouraged and confused about what it is you want to do in their life, I pray, Father, that you would begin to make it clear. Open the heavens, God. Let it be clear in your word. Use other people. Use me. Use different people in this room and in each of our worlds to help carry us into our vision. I pray that we would bind the enemy in this place, that we would not allow him to have a foothold in the Richmond Community Church. I pray, God, that you would just silence him. And if you leave it up to us, I pray, God, that you give us the courage and the strength to silence him, the authority to do that. Let vision happen in this place. Let vision happen on Division Street. Let vision happen. with the Richmond Community Church. Let vision happen with our individual lives. Allow it to take place. In Jesus' name, we know you can do this. We're confident that you will do this. Your word says you will do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing. Let's sing a song.